In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. You know, at the end of the year, the liturgical year, the church always gives us the apocalyptic readings from the gospel, the things that will happen when Jesus comes in glory. When I looked at the church's readings, I said, oh, they're beautiful, but I want to read the whole chapter. And so yesterday, I didn't change the reading. I used the church's reading, but I read the whole chapter and put it in context. So today we're looking at Mark 13. Mark 13. And I want to tell you, several years ago, I was with Eleanor, and we had the day off, and we were in the Holy Land, and we sat at the place where Jesus wept, and we looked into Jerusalem, just like Jesus is going to do in this reading, and I read the 13th chapter of St. Mark. I'll never forget it. We were looking, peering into the holy city, but there is no temple. There are two mosques. So I'm going to begin reading the 13th chapter of Mark. And as he went out of the temple, that's Jesus, one of his disciples said unto him, "Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings these are." You know, this is Herod's temple. It was considered one of the wonders of the world at the time. It's so beautiful. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "See these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Do you see these beautiful buildings? There will not be left one stone upon another. Well, I'm going to tell you, in the year 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed, the scripture was fulfilled. Not one stone upon another by the Romans. Not one stone was left upon another. And Jesus gives the answer, I believe, in Luke, when he says, "Why will this happen? Because they failed to realize the visitation of God's Son in Jesus Christ." My friends, we better realize the visitation in Jesus Christ, that he is the full manifestation of the Father's glory and of the Father's love. We better realize the full manifestation of Jesus Christ. He's not just a prophet. He's the Lord. He's the King. He is the one who will come in glory at the end of time. And mark my words, he will come, whether you or I are ready or whether you or I are not ready. So I continue. Not one stone upon another. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, exactly the place where we were, over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked Jesus privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" I'm telling you, Jesus is appearing into Jerusalem and sees the Holy Temple. He sits on the Mount of Olives and he sees the Holy Temple. Right now, in the place where the Holy Temple was, are two mosques. So I continue. And Jesus answered them and began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." And when many shall say that I am Christ, you know, that can mean that they say that they are the Christ, or they do preach Christ, and they do it out of you know, to get rich. You know, I tell you, I do not preach Christ to get rich. I preach Christ because I have a mandate from God the Father. I believe that. I believe that. I didn't choose to preach Christ. He chose me to preach him. And I know that I am not doing this because I get this tremendous salary from radio. I do not get a penny from radio that is given to me. So many will come, it says, and deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, you be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Wars and rumors of wars. Have you been listening to the television? Have you been listening to the radio? How Israel is being bombed and how she is retaliating. She wants to send out ground troops. Listen, are we living in those days? Well, Jesus says, the end shall not yet be. Wars and rumors of wars. So I tell you, we've had war after war after war, and that's just the way it is. We had war after war after Iraq, and the new one now, we've been there, and we're other places. My friends, rumors of war, we're experiencing rumors of war and wars that are going on. You know that the Arab countries hate Israel and want Israel destroyed. I tell you, Israel is no saint, but she is God's elect, God's holy land, and God's chosen people. I tell you that Israel is no saint, but I do tell you she is always God's chosen one and always belongs to God. That is the Holy Land. The Holy Land is not Rome. The Holy Land is not Turkey. The Holy Land is where Jesus Christ laid his feet. And that is the place that he decided to be born. As Ogden Mash said, how odd of God to choose the Jews. Odd of God? Well, God knows what he's doing. These are God's people. And I tell you, even though they are not saints, I am for Israel. I know they're not saints. I am for Israel. And the Bible says in the last war over Jerusalem, the last war before Jesus comes in glory, every nation will turn against Israel. Every nation. It's happening now. It's happening now. But the end is not yet, the scripture says. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. Earthquakes. I remember just about 6 weeks ago, I was in church trying to pray, and all of a sudden there was this rumble, and I felt it. It was like a wave that went from the back of the church to the front of the church. I said to the people that were with me, there were only about six of us, this is an earthquake. Do you know that Massachusetts is on a fault? Yes, and my gosh, we have gay marriages and we're killing our children. My Lord, I tell you, God has been merciful to Massachusetts. We were not troubled by Hurricane Sandy. We have been, for whatever reason, protected. But yet we have gay marriages and we have abortion on demand. And, you know, we have political leaders that are to the left of left. Let me tell you now, my friends, there will be earthquakes. And I told you many years ago that I put earthquake insurance on my house in East Boston. The man thought I was crazy. He says, it's only about $25. I said, I want it. He said, why? I said, because we're on a fault and we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want earthquake insurance because if there's an earthquake, the only way it'll be covered if you have insurance. Not that I'm looking forward to an earthquake, to tell you the truth. We don't need anything else. Life is hard enough the way it is, and we have been protected. There will be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. Let me tell you how many people are going hungry. One out of every six children go to bed hungry. This is in the United States of America. One out of every six children goes to bed hungry. How many soup kitchens have opened? How many do we feed on a Saturday? You know, how many do we feed on a Saturday? They come waiting for us in line. How many? One lady came up to me this Saturday, and she looked at me. She says, "Today's my birthday." Well, I said to her, "Honey, happy birthday." She said, "I'm 51. And my heart just melted for this poor lady who lives out on the street, and she has to celebrate her birthday with, well, at least people who care for her. You know, she wouldn't have told me it was her birthday if she didn't want to tell me. So I gave her the proper response, you know, that oh, that's wonderful. Happy birthday. Unfortunately, I don't have a place for you to live. I wish I did. I wish I did have places for these people to live. But there'll be earthquake in diverse places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. These are the beginnings of the birth pangs, as another translation. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to synagogues, and you shall be beaten. Yeah, they did that to the early Christians, and it's still happening now in Africa. It's happening in Muslim countries where our brothers and sisters, the persecuted Christians that belong to Jesus, are being literally destroyed, killed. And, you know, who prays for these persecuted Christians? Who prays for them? You know, they're all so poor. We don't remember them. But I told you, in 1999, 165,000 Christians died, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox. It's the same number every year, if not more. So please, in your time, pray for persecuted Christians. Pray for persecuted Christians. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. But the gospel must be first preached and published among all nations. In other words, the gospel must be proclaimed in all nations before all this happens. I remember Sister Ruth went to a few places where the gospel was never proclaimed. And I remember her taking flight, and she would preach the gospel to the few that she would find. I think this was the place when Sister Ruth was drugged because she was preaching the gospel. And her mother knew something had happened to Ruth, and her mother kept on her knees for 36 hours. And finally the Lord said, "It's all right." Ruth woke up. She thought it was the same day. It was 2 days later, a day and a half later. She didn't die, but she preached the gospel in that area. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, it's amazing that people believe the word of God, that the gospel must first be preached among all nations before the coming of the Lord. And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall say, neither do you premeditate, but whatever shall be given you in that hour, you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God will give you the witness to witness to Jesus in front of your persecutors. The Spirit of God. You know, I'm telling you that we are living in days that resemble Mark 13. I am not telling you Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. I have no idea. The scripture says he's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come when people are marrying and giving in marriage. He's going to come when there's business as usual. But he asks us to be ready. You know the story of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins, 5 of them got oil and 5 of them didn't get oil. And when they said, "The master is here," the 5 went in and the others were excluded. La porta è chiusa. The door is closed. Mamma mia. When I hear those words, it makes me tremble. The door is closed. In other words, we are to be ready. We are to be ready. We are to be ready. But when they shall lead you and deliver you, I read that, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate, for whatever ye shall say shall be by the Holy Spirit. Now brother shall betray brother to death, and father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death, all because of Jesus. What do we see if a Jewish person becomes a Christian? The family usually considers them dead. But we see that Muslims have become Christians, and they, when they find out, they stone them. They kill them. I'm telling you, my friends, we are living in the days of Mark 13 and Matthew 24. You shall be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I'm telling you, what it is all about is enduring, continuing to be faithful despite what's happening. The one who is faithful to the end shall be saved. And you know, we have had it easy in our country. We have had it easy in all reality. You know, we get what we want. Even our poor families, they have large TVs, you know, the skinny ones. They have TVs, they have microwaves, they have automobiles. You know, we have been so spoiled in the United States of America. Now we are beginning to see the poverty that has struck people. People losing homes, people being thrown out in the street. It's you know, now we are beginning to see that these things are happening. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not be, standing in the place of the temple, the abomination of desolation. And let me tell you, that first happened when a pagan king sacrificed a pig in the Holy of Holies. But now, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, standing there where it ought not be, when you look into Jerusalem, you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be. The two mosques, the Dome of the Rock over the rock where Abraham offered Isaac. Let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house, and let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garments. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight might not be in winter. Why? Because of the weather. And in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. In other words, the sufferings of the Christians will be so bad that it's never been talked about, never been experienced. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened those days. So the Lord has shortened those days for those people that are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. But they will have to go through the time of great tribulation. In the book of Revelation, it says, who are these all dressed in white? These are they that have gone through the period of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them clean in the blood of the Lamb. Who are these? You know, sir. These are they that have gone through the period of great tribulation, and they have washed their clothes and made them clean in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of Jesus. Except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh could be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, and lo, he is there, believe him not. Why? For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Do you know anyone that you could, you know, like Hitler? Hitler was a charismatic, I'm not talking about charismatic church Christianity, I'm talking about worldly charismatic. He deceived the world by his language, by his speaking, by his auditory skills. I tell you, my friends, many false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I foretold you of these things. Jesus said, I tell you of these things that when they happen, you might know that I told you. You might know that I told you. I tell you these things to warn you, so that when they happen, you might know that I told you. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And I'm going to stop there. What does this reading tell us to do? This reading tells us to be ready. This reading tells us that the Lord will come. This reading tells us of the signs of the Lord coming. This reading tells us that there will be great tribulation and great persecution. This reading tells us that we as God's people are to be ready for the coming of the Master, when he shall come in glory as the living and of the living and of the dead. This reading tells us that the bridegroom is looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle, that the bridegroom is coming for a bride, for a church that loves the bridegroom. This reading is telling us, be ready, be ready, be ready, because he will come at a time when you are not expecting it. He will come at a time when you are not expecting it. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that he is near, even at the door. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, calamities, nations against nations. When you see these things happen, know that he is near, even at the door, even at the door. For amen, amen, I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This is real. heaven and earth will pass away, but what Jesus says will not pass away. He will fulfill everything he said to the dotting of every I and the crossing of every T, whether we believe it or not. You know, people don't believe that Jesus is coming again. Well, you know what? They don't have to believe it. He is coming. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. This whole experience at the end of the year, the church gives us these apocalyptic readings so that we will be ready when he comes. I told you the story, what happened in the year of 1911. I went to a conference, and I was in the bar preaching to the bartender and praying with him. I remember, I never forget it, but I went to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I went to bed and fell asleep readily. It was so simple to fall asleep. But all of a sudden, I heard the alarms in the hotel, and I thought I was dreaming, but I wasn't dreaming. They were vacating the hotel, and I'm thinking, this has to do with 9/11. And I want to go see what's happening, and I go outside the door, and the door locks behind me, and I'm in my shorty pajamas, and I'm saying to myself, how foolish I am. Everybody's going to be laughing at me. I was covered, you know, covered more than going swimming. But the point is that here I am, my shorty pajamas, and I had to give the sermon the next day, and it was on this reading. And I said, you people all laughed at me, but there was a message behind me in my shorty pajamas. God was saying to all of us, get ready. Father Tom wasn't ready. Be ready. Be ready, for I am coming at a time that you least expect it. Be ready. Stay ready. Be ready. Stay ready. Be ready. Stay ready. Be ready. Stay ready. Because Jesus has promised us he's coming at a time when we least expect it. Let me also tell you this, my friends. Start praising the Lord. And if you speak in other languages, spend time every day speaking in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. We await the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do not know when he is coming. We do not know if it's in the next 20 years, the next 10 years, the next 80 years. But the Word of God tells us one thing. Get ready, be ready, and stay ready. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.